Talk Back with Gary Knoll, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. We have a lot to share. No guest, no hard-hitting original investigative report, no commentaries or issues. Rather, once a week, we take 1 hour and devote it exclusively to health, healing, slowing down and reversing the aging process. Insights from Martin Alizio on magnesium and neurological degeneration, from David Hoffnung on inflammatory factors underlying most cancers, Bill Falloon about what we can do to control our blood sugar, and lots more, and I will be taking calls throughout the entire hour. In fact, I'm hopeful to take as many calls as possible. Our number here in the studio, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, and just back from a long trip, and just arrived about an hour ago back in the city, happy to be here, and been out on the road for about 81 days, lots of driving, lots of filming, and most importantly, finding the answers that we need in order to empower people to make constructive choices in all areas, as you'll see from the new films coming your way, feature documentaries over the next 12 months. And I'm hopeful to have our first one done because I've been feeding the information back, the tapes I send back through UPS or FedEx or Postal Service every day. So we've had a team of six individuals, producers and top editors, working on this material. It's all very socially relevant, as you will see. Now, let's open with some of the most important things we can do right now, in a good way, to make a difference. First off, all the women in the audience, stop drinking those sugary beverages. According to a very important scientific paper presented at the American Heart Association's annual meeting, women's risk for developing heart disease and diabetes increases when you consume two or more sugared sweetened drinks a day. This was based upon a group of researchers, University of Colorado Health Sciences Center. They examined the health habits of 4,100 women from 45 to 84, and from all different ethnic backgrounds. Now, no one in the study had any heart disease at the start of the program. And then they found that as women's waist circumference increased, as their cholesterol levels increased, triglycerides increased, glucose over a five-year period went up, so did heart disease. So what they found was the one thing they all had in common: women were drinking sugary drinks, anywhere from once to four times a day in the summertime, or it's hot, in a lot of places in America it's hot all the time. They drink way too much. And what happens is when you drink a high sugar beverages, it plays havoc with triglycerides, and also it raises you to a pre-diabetes state. So we don't want that. So my suggestion is, use a natural sweetener, like stevia. It has no calories, it's all natural, yet it's 500 times sweeter than sugar. If you want a date sugar, an organic date sugar, that has a low glycemic index, and that's good. Now, as far as restricting calories, there's nothing that will restrict calories as much as simply making different choices in the food that you eat. While I was waiting to catch a plane, I saw one of those programs where people eat an inordinate amount of food and and they do it in a very, let's say, almost an athletic competition way. There was this firefighter from Tulsa, and all the members of the fire department were there, and they were going to see if he could eat this, the hottest peppers in the world on this pizza, and the most that anyone's ever eaten. Well, he was able to accomplish it, but then you think what havoc that plays to a person's system. But then someone else ate the largest hamburger, 6 pounds of hamburger, and someone ate the largest piece of cake. What do you think that does to a person's system? But it also puts into people's minds the idea we should have supersized portions, that a normal portion of food is no longer acceptable. And even a smaller amount is completely unacceptable. In fact, I watched the history of the founder of Wendy's, hamburger. I also didn't know. I thought Colonel Sanders was the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken, but evidently this guy was, and worked with Colonel Sanders out in Ohio, and then from there made that a very successful franchise, sold his interest, and then went on to found Wendy's. He died of liver cancer, and he'd also had a triple bypass just shortly before that, and he was only 69 years old. Think how many other people have had heart attacks, strokes, and cancer because of their diet. So here's the deal. If you want to, and this is not just for women, men and women, if you want to reduce your risk of a heart attack, stay away from sugar in all of its processed forms, including fructose. Stay away from concentrated calories. And the most concentrated calories are in, like, cakes and waffles, a steak, a hamburger, a cheeseburger. These are all highly concentrated. A pizza, lots of calories. And yet if you got your calories from beans and whole grains and nuts and seeds and salads and vegetables and fruits, you wouldn't be having a problem. To the contrary, you'd be protecting yourself. Now, resveratrol, which is a nutrient that is commonly found in grapes and red wine, much more in grapes than in red wine, also has a way of restricting the effects of calories on your metabolism. What that means in lay language is, and this was from cell metabolism, is that when you have resveratrol as, let's say, 150 milligrams, it limits the body's ability to absorb those and utilize those calories. And this was a randomized crossover placebo-controlled study in people who were obese, and they took 150 milligrams of resveratrol a day for 1 month, and their percentage of body fat and lipids, all this was marked, and they found that even for 1 month, those who used it had a substantial observed caloric restriction. So that's another way to help yourself, keep yourself healthy for longer. Now, we also know that fish oil has a lot of good. Hundreds of studies on what it does. This is just the latest from cancer prevention and research. And what they found is that when you take a low-fat diet and you have fish oil, you reduce your risk of prostate cancer growth. So my suggestion, 2,000 milligrams a day, 1,000 in the morning, 1,000 in the evening, and that will help you with a low-fat diet make an enormous difference in reducing prostate cancer. Now, for those of you who want to help slow down the aging process, and I think all of us do, according to Human Molecular Genetics, a peer-reviewed journal, taking a supplement that I've talked about many times, NAC, N-acetylcysteine, can help repair and prevent damage to your DNA. So, and this is important for your brain as well. Quote, fibroblasts in patients with the severe diseases, restrictive dermopathy at this particular research institute had a substantial protection from N-acetylcysteine. So quite simply, want to protect your DNA, 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day of N-acetylcysteine. Also, for those of you who've been using pomegranate, good news. According to the American Society of Nephrology, at their annual Kidney Week convention, they found that the long-term use of pomegranate, you can chew it up, you can drink the concentrate or take the powder, any way you take it is fine, you reduce your cardiovascular risk factors, especially if you're a dialysis patient. Quote, the study's conclusion, 22% of those who received pomegranate juice reported using fewer antihypertensive medications than those using a placebo. And also, blood pressure, triglycerides, and high-density lipoprotein cholesterol levels improved over the time among those who received the pomegranate juice, but did not improve if they got the placebo. My suggestion is that you get one of those little cups of pomegranate. You can get them in most stores, and put them into your smoothie, or put them into a hot cereal this time of year. Or if you can't do that, then the pomegranate concentrate. A little tart for some people, so throw it into a smoothie. Or just take a powder that has pomegranate powder in it. But I would get at least 2 ounces of pomegranate or more per day. And finally, reduce vitamin C intake among heart failure patients associated with increased death. This was an interesting study from the American Heart Association's their scientific sessions. I'll quote this. At the American Heart Association's scientific session, it was reported that heart failure patients have a greater risk of inflammation and death over follow-up when consuming a diet that provides an inadequate amount of vitamin C. Dr. Zhang and associates measured C-reactive protein in 212 men and women diagnosed with heart failure. They kept extensive and detailed food diaries, especially about the amount of vitamin C, for 1 year. And they found that those who had the lowest amount of vitamin C had a 240% greater risk of having elevated C-reactive protein, and that caused you to die faster from cardiovascular disease. Now, how much vitamin C do I believe is needed to help prevent this? I would say, in buffer form, approximately 2,000 milligrams on the low end, let's say 400 milligrams 5 times a day. That's easy. But for those of you who have been taking vitamin C, I would suggest 1,000 milligrams 8 times a day, or 8,000 milligrams. I would take half that amount of quercetin at the same time. Then you're helping yourself thin your blood, which prevents clot and thrombosis. You're also helping to have healthier skin, because collagen and quercetin are both essential in the manufacturing of collagen, which allows your skin to be tighter and wrinkle-free, more resilient, longer. You also are protecting yourself against ultraviolet radiation. Therefore, the normal damaging sun rays will be less damaging for you. You are better able to stimulate the natural killer cell activity of a greater potency, which means that the part of the body's immune system that seeks out cancer cells floating in the body and engulfs them, destroys them, they'll be more active. Hence, you'll be collecting those cancers before they can migrate into a tissue and cause a tumor. Your vision will be better. You'll prevent cataracts from macular degeneration. You can help reduce pressure in the intraocular part of the eye, and hence that's a big factor. You help kill a lot of bacteria you otherwise wouldn't have floating around your body, the bad bacteria, with more vitamin C. So all that is good. All right? One last thing. The Archives of Internal Medicine has reported in this month that the greater number of healthy lifestyle factors that you have, the more protection you gain against stroke. An MD, PhD, Dr. Hu and colleagues analyzed 17,000 men and women, actually 17,000 men and 19,000 women, and over a 20-year period. And they found that the more you do, the less chance you have of having a stroke, or, you know, a dying of a stroke. A substantial difference. It's like up to 67%. And what's interesting is how few of these people were taking the type of nutrients we know will actually help prevent a stroke, like garlic garlic at 2 or 3,000 milligrams a day really thins the blood out. Onions a day, a half a raw onion a day helps to keep a stroke away. And it also kills bad bacteria in your throat. It can kill staph and strep. And it can kill parasites in the intestines. It's really terrific for you. Also helps open up the sinuses and clear a lot of the bacterial infections that people have if they've been around mildews and molds in their homes or offices. And sometimes you won't recognize a little bit of pressure right above the eyebrows. Not a headache per se, but it just feels like a little bit of pressure. Frequently that is due to allergies that cause infections in that part of the brain. And you'll generally know this if when you get up in the morning and you go out, you'll find that you're discharging a lot of mucus out of your nose. You're clearing your nose rather frequently. Clear vicus material. That's the body eliminating and draining out, and the exercise is helping stimulate the draining of your mucus. Well, by taking in, let's say, more vitamin C, that helps. Garlic helps that. Vitamin E helps that. All these things, and tocotrienols help that, naturally thin the blood. Of course, if you have a green juice, super helps it. Who doesn't want to prevent a stroke? That's one way of doing it. Also, for those of you who do have tumors, the latest research from the Terry Fox Laboratory in Vancouver, remember Terry Fox was the guy who had cancer and lost one leg, and just a really heroic guy. I never will forget, I was up in Canada at the time, and I heard about this guy who was going to run from one end of Canada to the other. Well, that's quite a run. I mean, that's like running across the United States. And there was one scene that a photographer filmed of him where you see him on this real long road alone, no one with him, with his prosthetic leg and his regular leg, and he's just running across through the wilderness. Wow, you look at that and you think, what courage, what terrific strength. You can't see something like that and not be motivated to stop, you know, what you're doing and become more concerned about your own health and think, gee whiz, I've got two legs. I don't have cancer. I should be very grateful for that, because there's a guy who does have cancer and he's doing with two legs what most of us would never do. Or he's got one leg doing what we don't do with two. Anyhow, low carb diet. Get rid of the refined carbs. Carbohydrates that are high help feed the cancer. Sodium feeds the cancer. Salt feeds the cancer. Potassium works just the opposite. Anti-cancer. Low calories, anti-cancer. High oxygenation, anti-cancer. Lack of activity feeds the cancer. So you don't want to have a high blood glucose level like diabetes, because you have diabetes and you get cancer. All that glucose, that feeds the cancer. I'm Gary Nall, here to talk about issues that can improve the quality of our lives. This is our Empowerment Hour. Everybody listening should be healthier. You're going to get information. It's going to make a difference. In a moment, I'll be taking your calls at 888-874-4888. And I'm going to show you how to get that blood sugar down when you're fasting, in between meals. What's called a fasting and postprandial glucose levels. That, if it's elevated, can cause you all kinds of problems I'm going to talk about. We don't want an elevated glucose level. When was the last time you checked your glucose? I'm not talking about diabetics. Diabetics check it all the time. How about anyone who's just slightly overweight? Do you know what your glucose level is 2 hours after you eat? Do you know what it is before you eat? What do you think? If you were to guess, what would be a healthy level? 100, 110, 120? We'll come back in a moment and I'll tell you what it ideally should be. And now I'm going to hope that you will get your blood sugar levels checked to see what your fasting levels are. And if they're high, what you should be aware is coming in your direction. Please stay with us. I don't want to lose this good thing. like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Knoll. We're having just a slight technical glitch right now. Hopefully we'll get it fixed in a few minutes here. Please do continue to call at 888-874-4888. My computer is out here in the studio. I'm just back in our studio. But we'll get those calls in a second. Let's go to one of our more in-depth analysis of something that can help us. This was from Ruth, and Ruth is from Quebec. She says, Gary, I try to do the best I can when it comes to staying healthy and making the right choices. I don't have a lot of money. What are some of the superstars that if I do have enough that I can make a difference with? Slowing down my brain aging. I'm 54. Okay. Let's just take probably one or two. Let's start with PQQ. All right? PQQ is important because what it's doing, it's getting at the basis of almost all of the aging process, slowing down the energy. And that's because our mitochondria, which are the little energy factories of the cell, we have a lot of them in the brain, a lot of them in the heart, a lot of them in our muscular system. They're constantly under attack from free radicals. So anything that you do that creates free radicals, smoking, drinking, even if you drink something thinking that it's, well, you're not drunk, you're not even buzzed, you're still killing mitochondria. As you kill those mitochondria, then that's energy that will not be available for you, including available for all the normal biochemical responses you need. So if we want to say there's one absolute benchmark that can determine how fast you're aging, it is mitochondrial decay. And with that, lack of energy, because what don't we expect older people to do? Have energy, mental energy or physical energy. So PQQ protects and augments the delicate mitochondrial structures that promote our youthful cellular function. Now, it does it in several ways. I'll just share a few. First, PQQ, like coenzyme Q10, and I believe they should both be taken together, PQQ can be taken, let's say, at 10 milligrams, coenzyme Q10 at like 200 milligrams. It's a very powerful molecular stabilizer. It enables it to facilitate thousands upon thousands of biochemical reactions in the mitochondria without itself breaking down. Now, so in one sense, it's like alpha lipoic acid, which doesn't always get used up quickly, and vitamin E, which can go on and on and on for a long time in the body. So that's good. As an antioxidant, it traps free radicals. That stops yourself from being hurt. It also has a very good way of very constructively modulating gene expression. Now, PQQ activates genes that promote formation of new mitochondria. And therefore, it helps with genes directly involved in the mitochondrial health. And that's great. These same genes also support your healthy body weight and sugar metabolism and your cellular proliferation. And then I would add one last one in here, and that's our defense system. The mitochondria possesses their own DNA, which is distinct from the DNA contained in the nucleus. Unfortunately, compared to the nuclear DNA, mitochondrial DNA is relatively unprotected. So that PQQ's antioxidant potency and gene expression acts to support the mitochondrial defense. So PQQ is an absolutely essential nutrient, meaning your body doesn't make its own. And it's just across the board. It helps with cognition. It helps with our brain. It gives your organs more energy. Your heart cell functions better. It promotes blood flow in the heart muscle. And it helps attention and memory. So that would be one of the superstars. And it's very inexpensive. I think it's $12 to $15 a bottle for a month's supply. So that's very, very reasonable. So that's one of the things that you could do if you're on a very limited budget and still make a difference with your overall health. Now, if you had a little bit more money and you wanted to do a few more things, I would suggest L-carnosine. In my opinion, L-carnosine is the best of the best. Carnosine, C-A-R-N, carn-o, Sine, S-I-N-E. Now, let me put it this way. The older we get, the proteins in our bodies become irreversibly damaged by what we call glycation. Now, many times I've talked about glycation. I've given you this this little view of it. Visualize a very moist chicken, plump and pliable, going into the oven. 2 hours later, comes out brown and crisp. That's glycation. And that's what, when you look at someone whose skin is very tight and smooth, and then look at someone who's been out in the sun a lot and it's leathery and dry, that's glycation. When you look at someone who smokes and you look at them up close, you see that dry, wrinkled skin. That's glycation. Someone who drinks, they have what is called a blustery or ruddy look. That ruddy look is broken capillaries in their cheeks. That's not healthy. That's not vibrant circulation. That's ruptured blood vessels. Bulbous nose, ruptured blood vessels. Little splotches in the eye, that's ruptured blood vessels. Now imagine, where I grew up, everybody smoked and drank. I've never in my life can I recall a meal that my family had where they didn't finish the meal with a cigarette and coffee. And throughout the day, they would do social drinking, and before dinner, they would have their drinks, or later in the evening, they'd have their drinks. Now, none of my family ever got drunk. I never saw anyone drunk. They said it was responsible social drinking was to have two drinks, and it was something that was a stigma to get drunk. But imagine two drinks. You are killing all your vitamins, vitamin C, folic acid, B12, B6, all that's destroyed with the alcohol. You're causing inflammation in the esophagus, the sensitive mucous lining in your stomach. You're causing excessive erosion of that lining. You're causing the intestines also to be burned. It's highly anabolic. It's highly acidic. And then you're destroying massive amounts of cells, about 1 million cells per heavy drink. Liver, kidney, brain cells, but also you can see it in the face. And now imagine someone is drinking and smoking. And that's what they did. Everywhere, drinking and smoking. I mean, everyone. In my house, my older brother smoked 4 packs a day, my mom 3 packs a day, my father 4 packs a day. And that was an enormous amount. Imagine the secondhand smoke. I'm lucky along with my brother Stephen just be alive after all that secondhand smoke. And then when they'd sit down to eat, they'd eat a big, thick steak, lots of fat, that have mashed potatoes with gravy, rolls, and finish off with coffee. The only healthy food I ever saw them eat was in the summertime. They'd have a peach or apple, blueberries or blackberries. Outside of that, everything the rest of the time was just garbage. So then is there any surprise that a whole generation growing up on processed foods, fast foods, smoking and drinking and not exercising, gee whiz, why should we be surprised that they died young? And a lot of this was due to what we call glycation. In television now, you have a double negative. You have high-definition cameras everywhere. So the high-definition camera, you can't hide anything. Whatever defects are there, it's going to pick up. So you see people getting different lighting. You'll see them using a soft lens. You'll see them using enormous amounts of makeup. And when you put that amount of makeup on, it makes you look pasty. But all that's to what? To cover up glycation. And it's just amazing how many people out west, when I'm driving from town to town on these long stretches, point to a filling station, go into a place, man, their faces, their necks. Where do you think the whole term redneck came from? Redneck didn't come from someone who was a racist. It came from the fact that farmers were out there working in the field and their necks were red and cracked. The skin on a person's neck frequently told you what kind of work they did. Their hands would tell you and their neck would tell you. And then they got the idea of wearing their kerchiefs around their there and to absorb the sweat from, you know, the excessive perspiration coming down their head. Because when you have a hat on, which is not a good idea, the hats that we wore for all those years were a bad idea. Why? Because 10% of all your body heat is right through the head. So if you have no place for that heat to dissipate, then it ends up creating profuse perspiration and coming back down your face and your neck. Whereas if you have a visor that protects your face and your nose and your skin and then allows the heat to dissipate out, that's fine. But no, you never saw a cowboy hat or a farmer's hat that had an openness, right? That, you know, they wouldn't. That wasn't cool. And then you look at their hands, and they were really tough hands. You know, lots of calluses. But they paid a price for that. That's called glycation. So what can we do about this glycation? Well, first, understand that when you're eating foods that are highly glycated, cooked foods are glycated. The higher the temperature, the greater that occurs. Higher temperature. Fahrenheit 450. Do you know what that means? Ray Bradbury's a really good classic film where they outlawed reading because they didn't want people knowing stuff that could make them against the government. Fahrenheit 450 actually stands for the temperature that paper will burn at. And hence, the books could burn at 450 degrees Fahrenheit. A little foolish trivia. In any case, a carnosine in our body creates irreversible damaged tissue. And glycation is the cross-linking of proteins and sugars to form non-functioning structures called advanced glycation end products in the body, which can lead to alterations of normal cell function. Well, here along comes carnosine, and carnosine is not only a great anti-glycating agent, but it also protects neurons in your brain against reactive and cytotoxic protein, such as the carbinol species associated with normal aging. So if you take 1,000 to 3,000 milligrams of L-carnosine per day, you're helping to protect your neurons, which are your brain cells, from aging. That would help prevent dementia, memory loss, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, all these conditions. And then, gee whiz, if you're in PQQ, then you're helping your mitochondria through what is called mitochondrial biogenesis with the growth of new mitochondria in aging cells when, in effect, you're rejuvenating your cells. You're becoming younger. Now, if you really want to go all the way, then throw in some lutein, L-U-T-E-O-L-I-N, L-U-T-O-E-O-L-I-N. Now, that helps turn off inflammation. And inflammation is what causes the cells to age. And the culprits behind inflammatory reactions are pro-inflammatory cytokines, such as interleukin-1 or tumor necrosis factor alpha. So, lutein is a plant, and it's been shown to modulate these dangerous inflammatory cytokines. They turn them off. Then throw in some, paradoxal 5-phosphate. And that helps also to reduce damage to your cell. And it's the active form of vitamin B6 and protects the lipids and proteins from becoming highly glycated. And then I mentioned earlier about alpha-lipoic acid. Well, there's a specific type of alpha-lipoic acid called R-lipoic acid. And it's just a superstar when it comes to trapping free radicals and protecting your cells. So it gives your cells more energy, hence you have more energy. And then I would round it off with carnitine arginate. And the amino acid L-carnitine is required to transport fats into the mitochondria, be burned for cellular energy. So acetyl L-carnitine arginate is just super for supporting new neurites in the brain and protect the ones you have. 10 milligrams of BQQ, maybe 50 to 100 milligrams of pyridoxal-5-phosphate, alpha-lipoic acid, maybe the R fraction, maybe 200 milligrams, and L-carnosine, 2 to 3,000 milligrams. So those are not the only ones, of course. There are other things. But at least that'll help you. I'm Gary Knoll, back in a moment, and give a call now. I think our lines are open now, and we can take your calls. Before, I'm sorry, we couldn't, but now we can, at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Give me now. To welcome all of you, I'm Gary Knoll. Starting off this wonderful year with some brand new original in-depth investigative reports, my hope is to have at least two and no less than one original white paper, original investigative report, the type that I've done my whole career, but specific to the needs of this audience, every month. And if you miss one, not to worry, just go to my website, and after the 20th this month, we have a whole redesigned website, thousands of articles in over 35 different categories. So if you had an issue on pet care or environmental issues or anti-aging, whatever it might be, it's all these great articles there. But these are investigative reporting articles, and I've been doing a lot, so I've got a lot to share with you. I've got a lot of original commentaries as well. It's one of the things I do when I pull over after a long day of filming, a long day of driving. I pull into a trucker station and turn on the light and write. Sometimes 2, 3, 4 hours. That's where I get these commentary ideas. And I have over 40 that I've written that I'll be sharing. I'm going to try to do one a day. So we have a lot of new things happening. Let's say hello to Kevin. And Kevin is calling us from California. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
Great.
Thanks for taking my call. My question is regarding cookware. I was wondering if there are any types of safe nonstick cookware out there. What about this new ceramic nonstick thing? And are the stainless steel, are all of them the same? Are the one made in China, are they safe?
No, they're not. In fact, it's rather interesting because I was going to do some of my own cooking. Sometimes when I'm on the road, here's what I do. I pull into a restaurant and try to find one that has a decent menu. But I am very limited in what I will eat, so I take everything with me in a cooler. And then my office will ship stuff out to wherever I'm at. But I like, I'll take some brown rice or if locally potatoes, stop in a health food store. But then how do I cook these? So I'll go in and I'll look at a menu and I'll see what's your most expensive dish. They'll say, $15 or $20. I say, okay, I'll give you $15 or $20. Could you just bake me this potato? Or could you cook me this rice and these beans? And almost always they say yes. And then if they have onions or garlic, fine. It's not gourmet, but it's very healthy, and it's filling. And I decided in one place, the person said, this was right outside of New Orleans. I was on my way over through the Texas Panhandle and Shreveport, Louisiana. And a person says, well, you can cook your own. And I thought, well, that'd be fun, because I am a chef. I've owned 4 gourmet vegetarian restaurants. In fact, I built the first gourmet vegetarian restaurant in the United States, the Fertile Earth. Some of you who've been around a while will remember up on 108th and Broadway. We opened at 4 in the evening and went till midnight, and it was the hangout for the socially active people, the Berrigan brothers, you name it. If you were into the anti-war movements, and if you were part of the literary scene, if you were an activist, that's where you came deep, because you can get a whole gourmet vegan meal for $2.25. That was cheap even then. It was not done as a profit-making thing. I don't donate my time, but it was just a wonderful, wonderful time of my life. In any case, I went in the kitchen. I didn't see anything that was cookware that I would use. So the next day I stopped off and I went into this Sears. And I was looking, and here I see a sign that says, stainless steel, skillets and pots. Well, the first thing I noticed when I picked them up is very light. So I looked at the box, and sure enough, it said stainless steel. But then I looked closer, and I said to the man, I don't believe this is stainless steel. I believe this is a little bit of stainless steel. This is too light to be stainless steel. And the rest of this is either aluminum or copper or some other material. And if it has a non-stick surface, I don't want it. And he's, no, it's stainless steel. I said, well, show me. And then there's a picture on the back of the box. This was just last week, by the way. And it says stainless steel handle and little screws that held on the top of the container said stainless steel screws. But it mentioned nothing about the rest of the actual pot, the inside part that your food actually comes into contact with. So I said, can you guarantee me that this is stainless steel on the inside of the pot? Because first, it doesn't look like stainless steel. And I think there's stainless steel in the bottom of the pot and the handle and the screws only. And the guy says, you're right, I can't give you that guarantee. But he said, there is a store nearby here. It's a more high-end store. And go there. So I did, and sure enough, they had exactly what I was looking for, and I was able to negotiate it to about half price. And it's a very heavy skillet and a very heavy pot. You're going to get stainless steel. It's going to be heavy. And it should say 100% stainless steel, which, and most importantly, the surface cooking area must be stainless steel. Otherwise, they'll put stainless steel on the bottom and aluminum where it's most important, where it touches the food. And you don't want that, because when you cook tomatoes or lemon juice or any highly acidic item on aluminum, it can chelate the aluminum into what you're cooking, and now you end up getting aluminum, and you don't want aluminum, because aluminum will go into your body, and it has an affinity for the brain, and it ends up causing all kinds of neurological destruction. So I will only cook with stainless steel that is 100% stainless steel, and you'll know it. It's heavy. And or you could use porcelain, which is heavy also, and that's good. I wouldn't use any of the nonstick surface materials, though. Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
All the best to you, Kevin. And if you'd like to call in, 888-874-4888. I do, however, want to get to a couple other things here. I promise you I'm going to help you lower your blood sugar, and I will. There's one. Let's say it's an herb that I don't like at all. I think it has a terrible taste for me. Other people like it. If you like it, use it. It's the leaf of the coriander tree, and it's called cilantro. And a lot of people like cilantro. It's in a lot of different dishes. I would prefer just parsley. But in any case, here's why I would suggest that you eat cilantro. I would suggest you eat it because of what it contains. We're now seeing the really good science that can open up a vegetable and break down its biochemistry. And what we find in cilantro, you've got borneol, B-O-R-N-E-O-L, you've got carvone, C-A-R-V-O-N-E, camphor, C-A-M-P-H-O-R, elemol, E-L-E-M-O-L, and geraniol, G-E-R-A-N-I-O-L, and linalool, L-I-N-A-L-O-O-L. Now, these are extremely important phytonutrients, and they're rich in flavonoids. That means it's going to help your immune system. It contains phenolic compounds. It's going to help you with digestion. It turns off inflammation in your joints, so it's great for arthritis. It's great for fibromyalgia if you have pains in your musculature. It's terrific for antibacterial use. In fact, anytime you're eating someplace and you're really not sure whether or not they've washed something right or they've cooked something enough, there's three things you can do after a meal. You don't have to be making an issue. You can be very discreet, but always take with you a couple little items that I always have for myself, and that would include some charcoal capsules. 15 charcoal capsules. If you're not sure of something, and or if you start to find yourself getting some diarrhea, that means probably food poisoning. Charcoal will absorb that at thousands times its own molecular weight. Also, very good would be the olive leaf extract at 1,000 milligrams and oregano oil. That is all great. Well, cilantro also works with them because it's anti-inflammatory, it's antibacterial. It helps bring down blood sugar. It helps lower your cholesterol. It helps trap free radicals, which is terrific. And it's been around a long time. I've been able to trace cilantro back over 7,000 years. In fact, it was mentioned in the Old Testament. It was used by the Greeks, by the Roman, by the great man that we call the original physician, Hippocrates. And it's also very important for diabetes. In fact, it was in Morocco that some scientists actually did the studies that showed that if you're hypoglycemic, and that the coriander seed, after a single oral dose for just a month, can lower some of the hyperlipidemic conditions. So if you have heart disease, if you have diabetes, you'll definitely want to use some cilantro. So that's a nutrient of the day. Now, on the time we have remaining, we have a couple callers, and I'm going to have see who we have on. Let's Russ from NIAC. Hi, Russ. You're on the air.
Hello, Gary. I'm really pleased I was able to get on. I didn't think you'd have time. My main point was that I got the latest issue of Life Extension magazine, and on the cover is the headline is "What's Missing from Your Coffee," and it's got a very large article emphasizing the health benefits of coffee. And I know it's a great magazine, and I know that you did your thesis on it, and I just wondered if you had seen it yet.
No, I haven't, but that's all right. I would have to share a different point of view from them, and I have a lot of respect for Bill Falloon. In fact, I flew in for one day to film Bill Falloon in his office on an important documentary that I'm doing just 2 weeks ago, and we were together about 3 hours. It was a long interview. Bill does support medications for different conditions. He probably more than any single individual promotes anti-aging research by some real heavyweights around the world, and the funds that come through his foundation, he gives to them to do this, and I'm very pleased about that. Where he and I separate is on the safety and efficacy of vaccines. He is pro-vaccine, I am not. It's just because of the science. And also, you have to look about anything with coffee very carefully. There are ingredients within the coffee bean. The green coffee bean has phytonutrients that extracted can actually be very good in helping to lower blood sugar. Now, that is not the same as drinking a cup of coffee. So you have to distinguish. If they're advocating you drink coffee, I would challenge that. If they're advocating that from the green coffee bean, you're getting a phytonutrient that can help with stabilizing postprandial glucose levels, I would agree with that. So make sure that you're reading that carefully. After all, I spent 5 years as the research scientist at the Institute of Applied Biology in New York doing research on caffeine, and I published in a peer-reviewed journal on the subject, and it was the thesis for one of my doctoral programs, and it showed extremely negative effects. Yes, you can find in some cases a few positive effects, but for every one positive effect you find with caffeine, I'll show you 20 negative effects, from increasing pancreatic cancer levels and creating highly anabolic states that create hyperacidity in the stomach and cause malabsorption syndrome and causing osteoporosis and causing a hypersensitivity in the neurons in the brain. I can go through a litany of things that it does wrong that I personally, as the chief scientist doing the actual research in the laboratory, can show, and versus a hypothetical situation that someone can say, well, we think it's good. You have to look at everything in context. So I am anti-coffee, but there are many ways of using the coffee bean without brewing it as coffee. Hope that answers your question. Monica in L.A. Hi, Monica. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. I'm calling for my brother. He's got bed bugs, and he tried the spray stuff twice. Now, what's the next technique that they can do in L.A.? Because he says, like I told him, he knows about the freeze heat thing, and he says they don't do it in L.A., just New York or something. And what do we do?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. First, you can get an aeronizer that puts out a tea tree oil at a very microscopic dose, so small you cannot see the particulate matter. And it is enormously powerful, killing all viruses and bacteria, but also it's really an irritant to the tiny little fleas and bed bugs. Then get yourself a completely enclosed mattress cover and enclose that mattress cover. And once you enclose that mattress cover, you can then put any form of oil, like a tea tree oil spray, on it. That's a good way of killing them. And then wash all your clothes thoroughly twice and make sure that you pull up any carpets around there, and then get down and do a wet vac on the floor, and that pulls them up, and then that goes a long way towards getting rid of them. Okay, all the best to you. Now, before we go to Michael Rupert, I promise a few things. First of all, I believe that we are being really misled when it comes to what our postprandial glucose levels should be. Most people think that 100 to 110 is fine. Wrong. Every major scientific study shows that your fasting glucose over 85 milligrams per deciliter incrementally adds to heart attack risk. I've seen people come in at 120, 130, 140, and almost always you're going to have diabetic complications, even if you're not diabetic. So if you choose an ideal fasting glucose level, I'm suggesting 75 milligrams per deciliter. Now, of course, some people say, well, you know, as long as it's 100, I'm saying, no, that's too high. The higher that fasting blood sugar, the more likely you are to have triglycerides, C-reactive protein, which increase your risk of vascular disease. Also cancer, dementia, and a lot of other digestive or degenerative disorders occur with that. Now, one of the things that happens is, in fact, let me just mention something about that. There is a nutrient, and it is from the green coffee bean extract, and it can reduce glucose levels by about 30% by inhibiting the glucose 6 phosphatase enzyme that enables the body to create new surplus glucose and appropriately release stored glucose from tissue. So you want to have a more ideal level, and when you're taking different drugs and you don't have a good, healthy lifestyle, all that makes a difference. So here are my suggestions. First and foremost, go to a complex, high-starch with nuts diet. That slows down the rise of your glucose. That's all healthy. Fewer sugars, the fewer the spike in your glucose levels. Then, top of the list, what is called propylmanin, P-R-O-P-O-L-M-A-N-N-A-N, about 2,000 milligrams. It slows gastric emptying to delay rapid carbohydrate absorption, and it also provides a vicus barrier that binds bile acids that normally facilitate fat absorption. And then you have a very important amylase digestive enzyme inhibitor used to break down carbohydrate foods for eventual absorption in the blood as glucose, and it is called Phasylus vulgaris, P-H-A-S-E-O-L-U-S, V-U-L-G-A-R-S, generally at about 400 milligrams. You also have green tea extract at about 100, 200 milligrams. It inhibits the lipase digestive enzyme used to break down fatty foods and boost internal utilization of glucose by boosting resting metabolism rate. And that's why you get that kind of little jolt afterwards. So you're going to enhance your insulin sensitivity level. That's good. And cinnamon extract, good old cinnamon, enhances the ability of insulin to drive blood glucose into your muscle cells. This cinnamon is important because when you enhance insulin sensitivity, and if you add in some brown seaweed extract to inhibit the glycosidase enzyme, you're getting even more control over your blood sugar levels. All natural, all easy, nothing expensive, and that way you can hopefully keep your blood sugar where it should be. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and nutrition update information. Hopefully it will benefit you in all that you need.